This is the music and language of the Jabaday people. The Jabaday are a group of Australian Aboriginal people who are the original inhabitants of mountains and gorges, land and waters of a richly forested part of the wet tropics of Queensland, including the famous Byron Gorge and its surrounding areas. The melody you hear in the background are the haunting sounds of the didgeridoo, a long, hollow, wooden tube-like structure that you blow into. And trust me, it is much more complicated than it sounds, but the music or the tones are so melodious and soothing. Jabaday, also known as Jabagai, is the name of the tribe of Aboriginals who live in the Kurunda region in Queensland in Australia. The present-day Kurunda village was called Noongumbe, or the place of the platypus, which is a semi-aquatic egg-laying mammal which is very native to eastern Australia. The Kurunda region was once a very important camping ground with good fishing and hunting for the local tribes. In many early years, Kurunda was also a farming area producing mainly timber, dairy cattle and coffee. Of course, the village has evolved a lot since then, and today it's a vibrant little community in the rainforest which is enjoyed by locals and tourists alike. But like many native cultures all around the world, a lot happened when colonization spread. Much of the original culture and heritage of these tribes were destroyed or lost. People were killed, whole communities were obliterated, and their very way of life was threatened. A similar story happened to many of Australia's Aboriginal tribes. Yet over time, a different kind of movement has started to emerge. A movement to document, to preserve, and to promote the Indigenous way of life. The Aboriginal culture, its history, its art, its dance, and the very lifestyle. Not just for their descendants, but also for others who are now living in many of the colonized states. You know, ever since starting Culturally Ours and connecting with people all over the world, I know I have definitely become more aware of all the diversity around me. Be it in art or food or culture or even way of life. I love learning and listening to people as they share their story, their culture, and their heritage. In fact, I find myself seeking out experiences that will educate me and help me understand the world as I know it. It is so easy to say that what happened does not matter because it does not affect me, or question if what happened so long ago is even relevant. But to appreciate and accept today, we must understand what happened yesterday and work together on how things can be made better, right? During my time in Australia last year, it was so refreshing to see Aboriginal culture being promoted in schools as part of the curriculum, at events, and even in concerts. Indigenous tribes were welcome into tourist places, and many Indigenous tourist operators promoted and encouraged. I know these things take time, but the fact that change is welcome and encouraged was really exciting for me to see. Australia's Aboriginal culture is beautiful and so very rich in its narratives. There is an inherent connection among all living things and nature. It is in fact considered one of the oldest living cultures because these practices are actually still in place and build up generation after generation as young people want to understand where they really come from. So I welcome you to listen and appreciate the music, the dance, and the storytelling culture of the Jabaday people, one of Eastern Australia's Aboriginal tribes, on this episode of Culturally Ours. There's also a clip of a Jabberday performance at their Jabbergai Centre in Cairns, Australia, a must-see when you go to explore the Great Barrier Reef.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
The land around Kurunda in eastern Australia has been home to the Jabbaday people for more than 10,000 years. They are the original inhabitants of this land, the mountains, the rainforest, and the sea. But at the start of the colonization period, a lot of that changed as settlers started moving in and opening up the land for gold and tin mining. The access for these tracks was through the Bama, the rainforest, which had an immediate impact on the Jabbaday people. With the growing mining population in Herberton and a desperate need to get supplies to and from the coast, a railway route was planned out. In May of 1886, the construction of the Cairns to Herberton Railway began over one of the Aboriginal walking tracks, which crossed the mountain ranges and went down to the coast. Of course, this was not popular with the Jabbaday people, who stood up to the white settlers. But in the end, they and their land was taken over. An infamous massacre known as the Shipwa Massacre took place in the mid-1890s, where much of their people were killed and their way of life destroyed. The railway from Cairns took several years to complete, starting in 1887 and reaching Kurunda in 1891. Negotiating steep terrain and dense rainforest, a team of workers forged their way up the mountain, creating the railway line of almost 75 kilometers, consisting of 15 tunnels through the mountain. Today, the Kurunda Scenic Rail is a popular tourist attraction where visitors marvel at the sheer beauty of a journey through World Heritage Rainforest. I too am guilty of this. I loved the train ride up the mountain and through the tunnels. But as I learnt about the hardship that the workers and the indigenous people suffered during the course of its construction, my heart was really heavy. Before the white man, the population of the indigenous tribes in the Cairns area was estimated around 4,000 to 5,000. But by the turn of the century, their numbers had rapidly declined. Coffee, the region's first cash crop, was cultivated in 1896. The Bama people were soon utilized as farm laborers on the rapidly expanding plantations around Kurunda until well into the 20th century. Many Bama became fringe dwellers on the edges of white settlements, unable to hunt or fish or even move around as they had for thousands of years. It wasn't until 2004, yes, that's 2004, more than 100 years later, that the Jabbaday people were recognized as the native owners of Byron Gorge National Park in Queensland and given the right to own their own land. In recent years, in an effort to reignite Indigenous culture and traditions, efforts were made to cultivate a reintroduction of Indigenous lifestyle by promoting and educating the public on Indigenous culture, art, lifestyle, and traditions. It is really amazing to see this vibrant Indigenous community beginning to thrive as people want to understand and appreciate their own roots. The Aboriginal communities in Australia are not homogeneous. The many Aboriginal nations all across the land make up one of the most diverse cultures in the world. Storytelling is a rich part of the Jabbaday culture and heritage. They share stories on how their ancestors hunted animals, how they harvested honey, and how everything is really connected. The fact that they pray before hunting was also really quite moving. They thank the animal for its meat and only take what is needed and required at that moment. proof of a culture and a tradition aimed at maintaining balance and harmony with nature and all of life around it. Now, I know I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but with names like Bagica, which means freshwater turtle, Kuela, which means seahawk, and Gawe, which means the stars, it is so easy to see how the world around them influences every part of their life. They use stories, dance, and music to share the Jabudé perspective of connection, belonging, and being a part of the country. The land, the sea, the rainforest, the rivers, and the mountains are all connected. Their totemic identities, like the Kasuwe, provide associated responsibilities with caring for that aspect of the environment. It is really quite shocking to hear that when the European settlers came, they associated the Aboriginal land as a wilderness with absolutely no intrinsic value other than for mining and supporting growing settlements. But for the Aboriginals, this land was home. Evidence of settlements go back tens and thousands of years. Every rock, every stream, every tree had a story of the past that stretched across time and space for thousands of years. And these stories, this past, is spoken of in their native language and passed down through stories and art from generation to generation. Hey there! I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. Another aspect of Aboriginal culture is body painting and body art. Aboriginal body painting and personal ornamentation is an ancient tradition which carries deep spiritual meaning for Australia's Indigenous communities. The body painting is actually very different from tribe to tribe and location to location. And it often relates to spiritual matters as well. The specific designs and motifs used reveal their relationship to their family group, their social position, their tribe, their ancestors, totemic fauna, and even tracks of the land. As you can imagine, there are very strict guidelines on how the body painting and ornamentation is carried out, and an Aboriginal person is not allowed to just use any motif or any adornment in their transformation. They must follow traditional and respected patterns. Each type of painting and decoration corresponds to Aboriginal laws, regulations, or convention, as well as religious functions. The color of the body painting also varies between different regions of Australia and their tribes. Clay is often used as a color source, as is orche. Many tribes use precise color pairings, such as pink and red, or yellow and white. Feathers, leaves, and other plant material are also used to add color to arm and leg ornaments. And they are definitely used in ceremonies that involve storytelling, singing, and dancing. I even got my face painted in streaks of red and white when I visited the cultural center in Cairns, which was a way for them to welcome me, a visitor, into the tribe. It was such an honor. The Jabudé, as it is with most Aboriginal tribes around Australia, use their dance-rich culture to communicate and educate. They use traditional Aboriginal dance to tell stories of their ancestors, stories of the Dreamtime people which document various narratives around creation, stories of warriors and brave tribal members, and stories of love and family. It truly is a beautiful way to learn about native communities. There are several versions of the Dreamtime story, which signifies the story of creation, even within the Jabugaya people. I have linked the original YouTube video in the show notes, so please do go take a listen to the language, music, and the story of creation as told by a Jabberday person. One version of the story talks about how the Jabberday people, who lived in the land for thousands of years and hunted on land and sea, saw the sea rise and swallow up the land. Their storytime creator, the Damari, stopped the rising waters and made Gimue, which is another name for Cains, safe. Another popular Dreamtime story of creation is the story of Budaji. Budaji is the carpet snake who, in the Dreamtime, carved out the Byron River and the creeks that join onto it from the coast to the tablelands. Budaji, the carpet snake, traveled many times along the Byron Gorge with his beautiful nautilus shells. He bartered these shells with different clan groups along the river for dilly bags, eel traps, and other useful items. Three birdmen followed Budaji. They were after his beautiful shells. They asked Budaji for the shells, and he replied, "I have given them to the people along the river, and they give me dilly bags and eel traps." Driven by their anger and greed, the three birdmen left but played plans to ambush Budaji. They waited for him further along the river. Before Budaji could reach the people, the three birdmen ambushed him near Byron Falls and Kurunda. They chopped him up with their stone axes into many pieces. They scattered Budaji's pieces all over the place in the Jabberday region. Every place where a body piece of the Budaji fell was named after that body part, and these places became sacred for the Jabberday. There are many variations of Dreamtime stories as told by Australia's Aboriginal tribes. Each tribe has its own rendition, but each story is meaningful and important for its spiritual and cultural significance. It is their way of weaving the threads of connection between the past, the present, and the future, between the land, its animals, and their own lives. The core essence of connection, interaction, and commonality among all living beings and nature is really hard to miss. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.